Have you ever heard someone describe something, maybe a process of how something is works, and it just didn't click, it went over your head? And then after you've asked a question or two, and the person explained it again, maybe using more everyday terms, and you understood. You understood it because they put it into everyday language. This morning, the passage we're going to look at does that. Last week, we looked at following Jesus. I termed it an either-or battle in your life. Either you are going to go your own way, follow yourself, or you're going to follow Jesus. It's either-or. In Romans 12, as we look at the passage, the beginning of the practical section of Romans, Paul puts the following of Jesus into everyday terms. It puts the gospel into everyday terms. Let's begin reading in verse 1. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Paul says, "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. Or he who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with hope. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." The gospel in everyday terms. The gospel gets in everyday terms when all of life is recognized to be an act of worship. So what is your life communicating? Paul urges this because of the mercies of God. Looking at the first 11 chapters, what mercies of God did he have in mind? There were many. The one that I wanted to suggest to you may have been in the first part of chapter 8, where he says that now there is no condemnation in Christ. There is no condemnation. It doesn't matter what your life was like BC, before Christ, because now in Christ there is no condemnation. And so all of our life is to be an act of worship. That is how we should respond to these mercies that he's talking about. We should worship. Jews understood Old Testament temple worship to be something that you did. You couldn't worship at home. You had to go to the temple to worship. I want to suggest to you that you can and should be worshiping wherever you find yourself. whether that be at home or at work or at school or wherever it may be. Worship. Worship. It should be what we do in our hearts, not just what we do on the outside. Well, the first step in worship is a willful decision to worship. Decide to make your life a living sacrifice. Decide, Lord, I'm going to give you this day. I'm going to give you tomorrow. I'm going to give you the day after that. Every day that you give me, I'm going to give you as an act of worship. Make that decision. God's glory deserves it. In fact, God's glory demands it. And there are two ways to live out that intention of making life a living sacrifice. First, he says, do not be conformed to this world. Do not be pressed into its mold. The world tries to force you to think like it does. You know, I'm old enough to remember when the world was segregated. And then they began on television and shows introducing different characters of different racial backgrounds. And then we got into where we began to accept that. And if you watch any of the television shows today, you know what kind of characters there's going to be at least one of in every show. And so the world is trying to force us to think like it does. And what I'm suggesting to you and what Paul is saying to you is that we are to think like God wants us to think. We should have this mind. But don't be pressed down into the world's mold. Well, all of you are subject to that to a point. Because fashion and trends and all this gets dictated to us and we follow along. But if we get used to thinking and going and doing what everyone else does, then our worldview becomes dictated to us as well. A second positive way to make your life a living sacrifice is to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So there's a negative side of it. Don't be conformed to the world, but then there's the positive side. Let your mind be transformed, be renewed by the Word of God. Scripture is the only thing, God's Word is the only thing that will renew our mind and allow us to live a life of worship. Years ago, when we had family serving in the military, the duty station for them was in Germany, years before any kind of satellite TV. All they had was Armed Forces television, so the government could show them what they wanted to, particularly the commercials. I remember one of them, it said, "Be careful what you discuss. You don't know who is listening. Security is not just at work, but wherever you are." And so it is with your life in worship. Worship is not just at church. It is wherever you are. Gathering to worship is important, and it is not to be overlooked. But how you live is also worship. Are you living to glorify God? We need to be very deliberate in choosing to live out biblical values. Are you presenting your life? Are you presenting yourself to God as an act of worship? When you obey, you worship. When you do things God's way, you worship. Maybe you don't like going to work. There were times in my life that I've not really wanted to go to work. Do you look at going to school as worship? What are you thinking on or not thinking on? Are you controlling your thoughts? Are you thinking on things above or only things of this earth? I used the term worldview a moment ago. Do you live out a biblical worldview? The dictionary definition of worldview is a comprehensive conception or apprehension of the world, especially from a specific standpoint. If you claim to be a follower of Christ, if you claim to be a Christian, you should hold a biblical worldview. That means that everything you think about, whatever you see on the news, whatever you think about, whatever you hear going on in this world, the Bible should agree with your thinking, because if it doesn't, then you don't hold a biblical worldview. And let me tell you, there are a lot of things, you know that. There are a lot of things that the world says, this is how you should be. And the Bible says, you ought to be opposite of that. Do you hold a biblical worldview? Are you reading God's Word so that it is transforming your mind? Are you studying God's Word so that it is transforming your mind? We are to live out the gospel in everyday terms. The gospel gets in everyday terms when you become a responsible member of the body of Christ. He starts talking about worship, and then he's going to turn and ask us the question, what is your life contributing? Paul deals first with attitude. The simple clinical definition of cancer is it's a cell who forgets to die, and pride can be a cancer within the church. He says, don't think more highly of yourself than you should. Do not estimate your value to be more than it really is. He says, we are all part of the same body. We're all part of the same body. And that is the body of Christ. But we all have different functions. No part is more important, no part is less important. You are to have then the sound judgment, the renewed mind, living this out in faith. Second, Paul then deals with practices, functions. Every believer has been given a gift, a spiritual gift, a grace gift, some people refer to it as. It's not anything you earned. It's not even really anything that you develop. It's what you're given. And so he says, carry those out. And those gifts can be broken down into basically two main categories, speaking and serving. And so all of these, all of the ones that he listed, all of the ones that are possible, are all done for the benefit of the whole body of Christ. We got to go down to Caswell a couple weeks ago, or a couple months ago. Part of that is the old fort, and it showed where the cannons were. Well, the term loose cannon was developed out of that situation, particularly on ships, because a cannon was a cannon. And when a cannon was fired, there would be recoil, and so there were ropes tied to the cannon. Because any time the cannon got loose, somebody got hurt, if not killed. And so the term loose cannon became known for that which was dangerous. And that expression can be used to describe someone who does their own thing in an organization, in a church. A loose cannon. Are you willing to tell yourself the truth enough to identify yourself as a loose cannon? Are you willing to tell yourself the truth about your family? Do you see yourself as a pretty good person? Or do you see yourself as a broken sinner saved by grace? In the American church, particularly, there have been way too many loose cannons. Why else is there a church on every corner? Are you a responsible member of the body of Christ? How does pride cause sin? We may try things thinking that we can handle the situation, while the truth of the situation is we cannot. Or we go ahead and do things after privately saying that we will, knowing that we cannot. We are to be responsible. We are to live out the gospel in everyday terms. The gospel gets in everyday terms as love becomes common in relationships. What else builds other people up? Genuinely want the best for others. And Paul says, be sure that love is not corrupted. He says, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. And then the body imagery gives way to the image of family. And the focus shifts to actions of love. Notice what he said in verse 11. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the saints to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. It's family. It's family. Not lazy in any way, but committed in desire to serve the Lord. Then Paul advocates a positive outgoing goodness in response to everything, especially that which is bad. He says, bless others, never cursing others, even if they persecute you. Then he says, put yourself in another person's place. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind. Join in with them. Have a common attitude and a common purpose. Be on someone's side. Come to God's thinking on matters. Always then, Paul says, always then seek to act and not react. And focus on the future. We can avoid trouble if we refuse to retaliate. Sometimes flight is a better option than fight. Do what is right, he says. Christ's answer to evil is always a positive act of good. And then verse 18 is a key verse, a key way to think in terms of getting along with people. As far as it depends on you, be at peace with all people. You say, well, you don't know who I have to deal with. Well, there may be people in your life that you cannot be at peace with. But as Paul says, the Lord says, as far as it depends on you, be at peace with all people. Wow. Then he says, don't be too proud. Don't be too haughty to humble yourself. Sometimes you have enemies, but we should treat our enemies even with a positive act, not a self-seeking one. Make sure love is in all your relationships. One day a student asked Margaret Mead what, in her opinion, the earliest sign of civilization in a given culture. And he expected maybe a clay pot or a fish hook or something like that. And her answer was a healed femur. Well, you know what a femur is. That's the bone in your leg, your upper leg, your thigh. Mead explained that no healed femurs are found where the law of the jungle, the survival of the fittest, reigns. A healed femur shows that someone cared. Someone had to do that injured person's hunting and gathering until the leg healed. And the evidence of compassion is the first sign of civilization. And Paul would agree. Because evidence of the church is not a building or programs, but love. How do you treat others? Do you truly want what's best for others? Is love the most common, the most readily identifiable aspect of your relationships? What God desires from you is not one solitary act, no matter how noble. But what God expects is a continuing life, a continuing quality of life. We are to live out the gospel in everyday terms. Love is to be this philosophical, theological base of your life, of the church. Is it? It has been said that a fake can be spotted a mile away. When the world looks at the church, when the world looks at this church, when the world looks at your life, do they see a fake? Are you living every part of your life every day as an act of worship? Are you living for God's glory? Are you fulfilling your part of what this body of Christ needs? Whether that be speaking or serving, are you doing your part? Are you seeing that love becomes common in your relationships? Are you building others up? Are you putting the gospel into everyday terms?